Como News has beaten me to this. Roger Millar is the cowardly, and I do mean cowardly. I can't tell you why I know this, because I'm sworn to secrecy. But I called Roger Millar out on the air one day, and I then challenged him to come on the show, and he just, in my judgment, proved himself to be a just complete despicable coward. So he runs, or pretends to, the Washington State Department of Transportation. And he was giving a speech at the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials. At this speech, Millar said that traffic congestion,
it's a problem we simply can't solve.
Huh.
So my job is irrelevant because it can't be done. I'm Roger Millar. I have a job that shouldn't exist because traffic congestion cannot. It's a problem. It's so big that the nation that figured out how to fly people out into space in a shuttle and then bring them back. We can't solve congestion. And you know, from the nation that's created microtech, like these tiny little machines that you swallow in a pill, and then the pill dissolves, and then it goes about repairing the walls of your small and large intestines so that you don't have to have surgery. And then when the machines are done, they make their way through your bowels, and then you eliminate them from your body. We can do that, but there ain't no way that we can solve, you know, congestion. It's impossible. I just wish people would give me a break, you know? I mean, I've been in this business for 40 years. You know, I mean, I'll look around you. I mean, we know what we're doing in this state. I mean, we launched the Alaska Way Viaduct. Sure, we forgot to put, you know, on-ramps and off-ramps on it. But, you know, I mean, on-ramps can't be built, you know? And I wish those, like, the talk radio guys, like that Herman character, I wish he'd give me a break. It's not like he has any ideas.
Number one, in major cities, convert all intersections to always stop. All the cars stop, all the people walk. Why? Because then you don't have to wait twice for the same people. You pull up to a road, they're walking in front of you. You're going to turn right, they're going to walk in front of you. Now you have to wait for them twice. Right there's an idea, Roger. Wasn't that easy? Man, I'd love it if you could just get out of your job by saying,
it can't be done.
Try it at work. Steve, how you coming framing that room?
Roger, I've looked at this. It can't be done.
Oh, hell. Well, here's your paycheck. Have a good day. This can't be done. We can't fight the opioid problems. Can't be done. There's 57 opioid overdoses in 1 week in Snohomish County. Como News' Michelle Ostaban, she spoke with a bike shop owner named Scotty Ferguson and Snohomish Health District's Dr. Mark Beatty.
It's getting to be an epidemic.
The last time customer Scotty Ferguson stopped by the bike shop, he got hit up in the parking lot.
Immediately, this cat comes over and starts hitting me up to buy some drugs.
It's something county agencies are tracking in hopes of better responding to it.
I mean, this is just a wake-up call, a barometer reading, if you will, that we need to do more.
What? What? An opioid problem? Man, I'm glad we got the wake-up call. Glad Snohomish has gotten the morning coffee. Eggs and bakey, wakey, wakey. There's an opioid problem. We got our wake-up call. 57 overdoses. It's doubled, I guess, in a year, or more than doubled. If only there was something we could do. If only in our area, I don't know, sometimes I get these crazy, crazy, stupid ideas. Like, what if we were to enforce the law?
The law matters.
Yeah. What if we were to really actually get serious about looking at our Constitution and our state and saying, you know, we do have the ability to once again prosecute drug crimes. What if we just decided to kick the meth cookers out of here, out of the RVs, out of the heroin vans? What if we decided to once again go and enforce that if you're dealing drugs, you're going to go to prison instead of what we're doing, which is saying, oh, it can't be done. You know, we've tried that.
We've tried that enforcing drugs and laws, and it didn't work.
Yeah, but the situation's gotten worse since you've decriminalized it.
Shut up.
Can't be done. If only we could go and arrest openly, in public, open our drug dealing every day. If only we could call the feds and say, we know you're doing a lot of busts up here. How about if you partner with us? What if we just made it too hard to do business for the drug dealers? Like, you know, soda. Raising the price of soda. Raising the costs of guns in Seattle, and the gun stores went away.
Well, that can't be done because it's a public health issue. We banned cigarettes. Well, you know, shut up.
And the feds were here again. Brandy Cruz with Q13. Talked with Keith Wise, who's the head of the DEA Seattle. They went out and arrested 11 more people in heroin meth trafficking ring, which, by the way, always goes hand in hand. They always get to it, sex trafficking, and that equals sex slavery in a lot of the cases. Why? Because it's a better investment. They make more money, larger return on investments. So here's Brandy with the DEA guy, Keith Wise.
Is there any doubt in your mind that the individuals who have been targeted as part of this have been responsible for deaths in our communities?
Without doubt. Most of these groups that we've been working, we've linked them to heinous acts of violence, anywhere from drive-by shootings to home invasions to murders. A lot of the drugs that they're pushing out there are responsible for overdoses.
So you go with the Roger Millar theory on this?
You can't fight it. It's not something that can be done. I've been in the business 40 years, and you can't solve gang violence. You can't. There's nothing.
Roger Millar, Washington State Department of Transportation director.
I can't do my job. Please forgive me, but also pay me a lot of money. I'd need a good pension. I'm not a good saver. So can you have can I get 85% of my salary for the rest of my life?
From Roger Millar, guy says he can't do his job openly. Can't do it. To the community honoring Officer Diego Moreno, guy who worked briefly with my daughter. Briefly. I don't know that she remembers him. But I'll address this in the personal note tonight. Kristen Warmington set up this event, and she remembers the officer here.
Goofy, hilarious. Loved his family, loved his wife, adored his children. Can't believe this many people came. This is so awesome.
Cougars do that.
Cougars do that. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Wazoo. He's a Wazoo guy. Listen up. His wife, the officer's wife, Diego Moreno's wife, has said that it's not just these donations they're getting through their GoFundMe. I'm gonna give you a text link. I'm going to give you an easy way to donate. Please leave a message. She has said she is reading every message that is left for the family. She has said this is easing her suffering. Okay? So, you want to give money and leave a message for the family of this fallen officer. Here's all you need to do. Text the word Diego, D-I-E-G-O, to 800-465-8770. That's Diego, D-I-E-G-O, to 800-465-8770. We'll send you a link to the GoFundMe for the family. Please, after you donate, leave a message because Officer Moreno's wife is finding comfort in them. All right, Todd Arm Show continue on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Cory Booker, pastor, thinker, leader. You know what he is? He is the absolute war within the left, but it's occurring all up in Cory's Corey's gourd. Yes, he's the absolute example of the war on the left. Again, if you want to give money and leave a comment for the family of Officer Diego Moreno, who lost his life trying to save yours, text the word Diego, D-I-E-G-O, to 800-465-8770. After you donate, even if it's just a little bit of money, please leave a note, because his wife has said those notes are bringing him great, great comfort. There is, on the left, man, it is, they want us to believe that it's the Republicans, that it's the Trump Republicans versus the non-Trump Republicans versus the never-Trump Republicans versus the conservative Republicans. They want us to believe that, they being the media, etc., the Democrats. But the war that is going on the left is, I mean, this has to be hell. You know, Cory Booker. Corey is a good old-fashioned East Coast, New Jersey con artist with a pleasant smile, good-looking guy. His bit used to be, look, I don't know his soul, okay? I met him when he was in Michael Medved's, when he was on the show, and I talked to him for a bit in the studio. He's a very nice guy, you know, and has the human touch. They call it in D.C., they call it the human connect, you know, and he's good at either feigning interest in what you're doing, or maybe he's just curious about people. But his shtick used to be that he was the balance guy. He was the reach across the aisle guy. That used to be a shtick. Well, and that is not going to work in the modern Democratic Party. But it's so fascinating to watch his it's not an evolution, because I don't believe it's genuine even a little bit. But he's going down the same path that all of a sudden the Democrats are. And it's a thing of astonishment to watch, to think of Bernie Sanders. He and his wife, didn't they go on their honeymoon in Russia? And all of a sudden, you have Bernie Sanders saying, look, we cannot have a president who is controlled by the Soviet Union, by Russia. Forgive me. The next thing you know, he'll be in this country and proposing a madness like having the government, you know, take over businesses and healthcare and banking. And you can't have that. This is the United States of America. You have Bernie Sanders, who's turned into an anti-Russian alarmist. Look, we may have had a honeymoon there, but that's only because we had discovered that you can go over there and read rape poetry, which is how I was making my money at the time. As you know, I was a well-established writer of rape fantasies. Oh, that's true. No, that is true. But that's why we went to Russia. It's not for the politics. Then you have the newfound theologians, like Cory Booker. The newfound preachers, Cory Booker. The newfound belief in the gospel by Democrats who at their convention, a few conventions back, attempted to ban the word God 3 times. During their convention. And if anybody reads the Bible with any seriousness, that number 3 has some significance, doesn't it? So Cory Booker says that Brett Kavanaugh, a guy who doesn't like spicy food, and plus his name is Brett, and you know, guys named Brett, I mean, come on. Everybody knows about guys named Brett. It's not about politics, says Cory Booker.
There is so much at stake here that this has nothing to do with politics. This is to do with who we are as moral beings. And so I want to call on everybody. I'm not here to tell folk just what they should know. I'm here to call on folk to understand that in the moral moment, there is no neutral. In a moral moment, there is no bystanders. You are either complicit.
Right. Yeah, okay.
You are either.
All right, so we got that now, but that's not the point I wanted to point out. Folk, do you see the transference of Cory Booker into even a bigger fraud?
There is so much at stake here that this has nothing to do with politics. This is to do with Listen. Who we are as moral beings. And so I want to call on everybody. I'm not here to tell folk just what.
To tell folk? No one in New Jersey says tell folk things. It's the crack up of the Democratic Party. He's trying to figure out how to play this role. All his life, he's played this other role. There was the role where he was the helper of T-Bone, who was his made-up drug-dealing friend that Cory Booker turned around. He played that role. Now he's trying to play a role of a preacher.
There's a saying from the Abraham faith in one of the Psalms. It says, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But that doesn't...
With a guy named Brett. Why? Because he doesn't like spicy food.
It doesn't say, though I sit in the valley of the shadow of death.
Well, now.
It doesn't say that I'm watching on the sidelines of the valley of the shadow of death. It says, I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It says, I am taking... agency that I'm going to make it through this crisis.
And the crisis of Brett Kavanaugh, are you going to get to this, Cory Booker, or is that not in your script? I mean, did you hear the segment I just did on Roger Millar? Did I go straight at describing the problem? If you didn't hear that, Roger Millar, the executive director of the Washington State Department of Transportation, has announced that it's impossible to fight traffic congestion. Cannot be done. Therefore, his job is not needed. Rants on the text line.
Just because I'm your lawn guy and I have a mower doesn't mean I have the ability to mow your lawn. And here's my invoice of text line. Hey, Todd, Hank Hill in the imitation of that voice. Yeah, there's a little Hank Hill.
So, Cory Booker, are you going to get to the actual problem that you're pretending to have with Brett Kavanaugh?
And so I am calling on everyone right now who understands what's at stake, who understands who Kavanaugh is. My aunt who says it's something.
Listen to this man. This is a 2-minute clip we've cut up. So we're in the shadow of the valley of death, and he wants us to walk through it, not sit in it. And he says, now, if you understand who Brett Kavanaugh is.
And so I am calling on everyone right now who understands what's at stake, who understands who Kavanaugh is. My aunt who says that someone shows you who they are. Believe them the first time. He has shown us who he is.
Yeah, he's a guy named Brett who was raised in D.C., is as establishment as you can be, went to the right schools. What is it, Corey, if you can't say what's wrong with a guy, if you can't say it, then it's not there. I'm trying to think of a good way to, you know, bring this about. No, you're a kid. Dad, how come I'm being punished? Well, you know who you are. I'm not going to sit here in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to walk through it. Dad, what'd I do wrong? Well, you showed me who you are. What did I do? Psalms. See, this is what happens when you enter into professional pretense. I'm willing to bet. And this is sort of sad. It is. I'm willing to bet that the reason Cory Booker can't say what's wrong with Brett Kavanaugh, because you hear him kind of stumble on Kavanaugh's name. Kavanaugh's shown us who he is. That's an indicator to me that that's a man who knows he's lying. And it's even sadder than that, or more sad. That's a man who really doesn't want to be doing this. I think. I mean, I know he's a con artist, but maybe it's like somewhere left over in him, there's a tiny little principle, and it's saying, don't bear false witness. Don't bear false witness. You think? Come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Time and again, I like to go ask questions about our political system that I don't think anyone else is asking. I used to do this in D.C. to bug people. I really did. Sometimes I'd ask questions at dinner about the system, and it would just bug the oh my gosh out of people. I'll give you some of those questions inspired by a live event of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Every so often, to bug people in D.C., I used to ask what I thought were pretty obvious questions. And this was inspired today because I got a big alert. I was in one of the local news stations. I think it was Como. And it was telling me, watch live! a Congressional Hispanic Caucus press conference. Watch live.
The fact that they're actually trying, that they've separated families to create a quote-unquote deterrent. Suspicion that where this initiative came from and who is the original...
Man, watch that live. Young Tom is prepping the show, going through this clip. He says, is there anything you particularly want from here? Yeah, I want to make a point. If I were at that event, I would raise my hand and say, yeah, pardon me. Yep, Todd Herman Show, KTTH Seattle. Thanks for calling on me. Are you guys a race-based group? We're here to talk about immigration. No, I'm just asking. It says Congressional Hispanic Caucus. So are you race-based? Well, yeah. How do they respond? See, here's the big question I have. We know that these guys don't let all Hispanics be in there. Carlos Cubella, he got rejected by the House Hispanic Caucus.
I'm proud of my Hispanic roots. We have two little girls. My wife and I were raising them in the Hispanic culture. We speak Spanish to them, but apparently that's not good enough these days. From their perspective, if you're only Hispanic, if you support a liberal agenda.
So are you in a race-based group or an ideologically-based race group, etc.? So here's the question I would ask back there sometimes at lunch. So you'd be at some fancy, stupid, you know, overblown D.C. lunch spot because it's one of those towns where everything has to be a fancy lunch. And I would pop off with a question like, yeah, why do we allow the Congressional Black Caucus to be a race-based group? Oh, and like the China... doing? I'm asking a question. What are you doing? And they look behind them. What kind of question is that? No, it's an honest question. Why do we allow official race-based groups within the United States Congress? Why do we have an Hispanic caucus and an African-American caucus? That's the Black caucus, the Asian-Americans caucus. I thought that it was sort of the United States of America. It's fine if they want a caucus that way, but why do we give them letterhead? Why do we set up committee meetings based upon the interests of one race, which is what they'll tell us? And the looks you'd get, well, what else are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to say we don't have race-based groups in Congress. Well, we'd get in a lot of trouble for that. What? Yeah, that'd be a lot of trouble. All right. Well, let me ask this question. At a different dinner party. I went to two dinner parties ever. Two. Ever. Ever. One at a private home, one at an event I was told I must attend by Chairman Steele when I was at the Republican National Committee. So I'm at this dinner party. I was told I must attend. I was sitting there with a bunch of congressional chiefs of staff. They were asking me questions about digital. And I said, hey, can I ask you guys a question? Why do we have to ask permission to look at your emails? And again, like one guy nearly shoved his cigar up his beak. He was so shocked, tried to put it back in his mouth and went, you know, kind of into his beak. And I said, Bert, your cigar, it's like in your beak. Well, what do you mean to ask permission? Well, why do we have to ask permission? Well, you mean like do FOIA? Yeah. Well, what are we supposed to do? Just let you look at our emails? Yeah. What the hell? Why would I let you look at my emails? Because you work for me. Oh, this guy. Steele said he's bringing an outsider. You really don't get how it works, do you? No, I guess I don't. But this was a fun game in D.C. It was just to watch their reactions. Question I would ask sometimes at a restaurant if I'm out, you know, with partners of the committee, because I'd take vendors out to lunch, etc. sometimes, and you establish relationships. You want to like the people you work with, or they'd take you out to lunch. I would always buy. Never let a vendor buy. And sitting at lunch, I'd say, hey, what's it like to work in a city that has never had a recession? Do you feel good about that? And their looks, like one guy who's actually a very good friend of mine, he left the business. He couldn't stand it. His name is Darian. And Darian looked at me and goes, dude, you are bringing me down. I said, no, Darian, I'm just asking a question. I mean, you work in a city that can't have depressions or recessions. Do you feel bad about that? And he sat there for a second and goes, I didn't until you brought it up. Well, good. And my favorite one ever was if I was forced to attend a congressional event and I was feeling particularly spicy. When it came time to pay, I'd say, hey, can you guys pick up the tab? why should we buy? Because you get the congressional retirement plan that no one else gets. You're going to get a pension and be paid to not work for the rest of your life. And plus, then once you leave there in 20 years, you're going to go become a lobbyist in 2 weeks and bring in $500K to $1 million a year just because you could knock on a door and say hello. And I'd say it with a smile on my face. It's a Herman. My hope was that they would go home and that somewhere in the back of their brain, they'd be sitting there going, you know what? We work in a bad place that has elevated itself above the people it's supposed to serve. And in the case of Darian, my friend, it actually made a dent. He actually got out of the business. And it was one of those questions. It was that, are you okay living in a town without a recession or depression? Actually caused him to change his mind. If you ever get a chance, it's called obvious questioning. See, these are obvious questions to us. But you talk to people in Olympia or D.C., you're talking revolution. And here we are, my favorite portion of the show. This is your longer form communications. You know, long notes that you want to write us. You can do it on the Facebook page or you can do it at email, therman@ktth.com, or just go to ktth.com. It'll direct you to the show, and you can leave an email there. The Facebook page, facebook.com/Todd Herman Show. You'll hear texts throughout the show. We peppered in like a fine recipe, and tweets, because in that case, it's something that I'm sadly addicted to. Yeah, I don't like Twitter, but I like the team that communicates during the show. It really is like a chat of your fellow listeners. So you should really follow me at Toddy Herman, and then you can chat with everybody as the show goes along. Start off with emails here from Oscar Walrus. Love the name, and I hope it's a real name, from Seattle. You might want to check the Daily Journal of Commerce from Monday and Wednesday this week. The same SDOT group that brought you the streetcar debacle is now advertising for a contract company to do media work to tout their accomplishments. to tout their accomplishments to the tune of up to $500,000 per year. You know, while $1.5 million is nothing compared to the $52 million they've wasted, it should at least be pointed out. I appreciate the note. It absolutely should be pointed out that they want public relations to tout the accomplishments, and they don't have any accomplishments. There are literally no accomplishments that they have. Anything that they could ever tout is only ruin. I mean, my goodness, they it's not going to be public relations that's going to change the fact that you've apparently purchased trains that will not fit on tracks. $52 million in trains. As the acting SDOT director says,
I can't speak to what happened in the past. I assume it was not a con job.
Yeah, I was talking there about the bike lanes. Well, I have news for you, Gorn, acting SDOT director. It was and is a continuing con job. David from Vancouver. Hey, Todd, when Inslee hands the reins over to the next generation, can it be those first graders with a Glock strapped to their hip? You know what I love about this? It is so cool to me that you guys listen so closely to the show. And this is one of the reasons, frankly, that we use sound clips, you know, like this, that we put in the show, is because I want people to remember the absurdity. And even if people only hear it once or twice, I want people to remember the absolute absurdity of Sleepy Jay Inslee going out and saying things like,
we're getting these absurd ideas that what we want is our first graders to have a Glock on their hip.
Which no one, of course, has ever said except Jay Inslee in his stupor. I mean, and give him the break. His staff woke him up that day. I think he got up, honestly, and I know this is a little brutal. It was somewhere around 10 a.m.
Talking to dozens of these young people is we need to turn the world over to this generation as quickly as we can.
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. Thank you. Such a brilliant thought and so brave of you to say. Todd from Des Moines. Hi, Todd. I've come up with a brilliant idea. We should establish a museum in Seattle called the Museum of Public Funds Wasted. It could include such fun items as the tunnel boring machine Bertha, a car from the Link Light Rail, an expensive privilege of living in Washington, car license plate tabs, two gas pumps from the same day showing the price of gas in Seattle versus Oklahoma City, and so on. Another great feature would be the Bust Museum, where we could shine the bust of famous politicians in Seattle, like Jenny Durkin for her $52 million streetcar project, Jay Inslee for Western State Hospital's loss of funding, etc. One issue that would probably have to mean have stopped to future eligible museum entries would be that of Washington State politicians, to prohibit them from trying to come up with bigger disasters just so they could get into the museum. One of the other beauties of this museum is Republicans could come and see their favorite Democrats without having to vote against them. It would be nonprofit. All proceeds could build car and truck only roads around Seattle, toll free, no buses or bikes allowed. Smile. Terry, first name only, please. You got it, Terry. First name only. P.S. Love the show. Hey, thank you very much, Terry. Great note, and I appreciate the support of the show. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Man, and we could also have just, you know what? Throughout the entire museum, you could have a certain scent to it.
You got the best weed in the United States.
Now, just to remind people of how Seattle has been completely ruined by that ideology as well. Now, from Seattle out to Ohio, one of the first people to start writing from us outside of Washington State. Great, great, loyal listener, Steve. Hello, Todd. Steve from Ohio here. Admittedly, I'm not a money man, but I don't understand the Mariners wasting money from the taxpayers so the Mariners can renew their ballpark lease. If the Mariners are not making enough money to pay for their own lease, shouldn't the Mariners either renegotiate the lease or move out? That's what any other business would do. Are the Mariners a business? Because if they're a public utility, they can ask for money from the public, but otherwise they need to modify their business model. If the Mariners can't supply a product or service that people are willing to pay to cover the costs, then things need to change. I state that, and then I see what's going on with the trains and services in the area. Can the state of Washington turn it off and turn it back on to see if things will start working correctly? Wish you all well. Thank you very much, Steve. From Hilliard, Ohio. Yeah, look, the Mariners make a strong point here, Steve, in that they actually lease that building. Now, look, giving money to teams to build stadiums? No, absolutely not. Giving money to team owners to keep their franchises here? Absolutely not. Taxpayers should never, ever subsidize pro sports. But this thing is a little bit different in that when you rent a building, when you lease a building, it's very common to negotiate into that lease that the landlord will do certain things to keep the building up to your standards. And generally, that is done at the end of lease periods, etc. Now, what's really funny, Steve, is that Smack Daddy, Dow Constantine, the con artist who runs King County as the executive here, he says he wants to instead spend that $180 million on affordable housing. Just remember that according to the Puget Sound Business Journal, in 1 year, King County, that Dow runs, they spent $1 billion. $1 billion supposedly to fight homelessness, which, of course, has gotten far worse here. So to hear him even talk of affordable housing is sort of an insult, and that Dow Constantine doesn't do anything affordably and doesn't do anything, in my judgment, without something in it for Dow. One day, the story's going to be told of the con. One day, when Seattle is Detroit. One day, when it all collapses, someone's going to go look back and say, wow, everybody was on the take. Back to emails. John from an anonymous city, and you'll see why. Dear Todd, I work in law enforcement. The young people involved in the death of Officer Moreno are getting prosecuted because it got into the news. Had this been John Q. Citizen killed by these kids, I guarantee, would be put in diversion. The only reason this is being prosecuted is because it's in the news, not because it was an officer. The fact is this. If it were not news that it was Officer Moreno who was killed, once again, this would not be prosecuted. While I don't know these specific individuals, on a weekly basis, I interact with juveniles, and on about a quarterly basis, I arrest the same 10 to 12 juveniles, sometimes 5, 6, 7 times per year. Many of them are on so-called diversion plans. I want you to know there's a lot of us out here wearing the badge who listen to you with a lot of anger, but a lot of gratitude that you will bring to the surface what's going on under the guy you aptly call Smack Daddy Dal Constantine and Heroin Satterberg. John, thanks for the note. Thank you for serving. I'm sorry that you've lost a brother. By the way, to be clear, it's Heroin Dan Satterberg. So I wasn't make sure his name is in there. I've heard this from other officers, and it's a tragic reality that people like Dow Constantine, and you got to remember this, as we grieve Officer Diego. And my personal note tonight, I found out something about Officer Diego I didn't know until my wife reminded me. Okay, so he's in my prayers for a very specific reason. But remember that we have a guy in the King County Executive who has pledged to put zero kids in jail eventually. He also said,
since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50.
And that was spoken about 2 days after two young women were murdered in a gang shooting about two blocks from where Dow said those words. Okay, Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. As we come back, the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant proves that my nickname for her is absolutely correct.